Time to go. Yes, welcome to the Hopkinsville Christian County League of Women Voters Candidate Forums. We would like to thank the City of Hopkinsville for the use of council chambers to conduct the candidate forums. We also would like to thank all the candidates that are participating in the league forums. My name is Anita Simmons. This evening, we have candidates running for state representative. The candidates are Walker Thomas Wood and Larry Curling. Mr. Curling will have the opening statement, his first opening statements. They have 2 minutes, each candidate, for opening statements. And each candidate will have 90 seconds to answer each question and 30 seconds for rebuttal. This year, the candidate forum committee reached out to all non-candidate league members gather information in order to formulate a pool of questions. Mr. Curling, you have opening statements. You can start.
Good evening. I just want to introduce myself by giving you a little of my background. I'm a lifelong resident of Prince, Kentucky, married with 3 children and 3 grandchildren. After graduating from Colwell County High School, I earned my master's from Murray State University. I worked for 32 years in the Colwell County school system. 5th grade. The last 12 years I was in administration. I was a transportation facilities director. I was a wrestling coach for a few years, coached football for over 20 years. I was assistant under Al Giordano for a few years and about 20 years for Pat Gates. For the last 8 years, I worked in county government. I was a magistrate for 4 years and I'm currently in my 4th year as Colwell County Judge Executive. Why am I running for state representative? It's simple. I was encouraged to do so and feel like I can make a difference in our area. Being in county government for 8 years has let me know what counties need. Finally, I just want to say thank you to the League of Women Voters for putting this event on, and I will try my best to answer your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Curling. Mr. Wood, Mr. Walker Thomas, Wood. Mr. Thomas.
Wood's the middle name. That's fine. Well, it's an honor, Mr. Kate. And just recently, we redistrict, and unfortunately, I lost the great men and women of Fort Campbell, but I picked up Caldwell County, so my boundaries have changed a little bit for representation, but I look forward to meeting everyone that's in District 8 now. And, of course, that's still up to the judge's verdicts, too, there. So I have been serving for this is my sixth year, and I am married to Sandra Thomas. We have 5 children and 4 grandkids. They recommend them. We flipped the House a few years back when I was elected from Democrat to Republican. And with that, we're able to control some of the changes in the state. I ran as a pro-life candidate. I wear these little 10-week baby feet proudly, and I support life. And moved through the leadership ranks. We all came in as freshmen, and within 3 years, I not only was chairing capital projects and bond oversight, but I ended up getting a statute committee, too, so I'm chairman of Veterans, Military Affairs, and Public Protection. With that comes great honors because I get to meet with the leadership staff once a week and kind of control the agenda and the flow of what bills comes through my committee. So look a few more years, and with that, we'll answer some questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Mr. Curling, you will have the first question. The first question is, what would be your top 2 priorities if you are elected to this position?
When I was running for judge, I had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people. And one of the things that, I should say 3 things that stuck out. It was all about, they want affordable, fast internet, and they want somebody to be there when they call 911 services. So I definitely push for more road money, especially in our discretionary road fund. That's very important to counties. I handed in about 12 discretionary road funds this year, And of course, only two were approved. And that road money, there needs to be more in that discretionary fund. Unfortunately, the other eight roads or seven roads, we're going to have to get in our general budget and take care of those. I would also keep pushing for internet service out to our rural areas. You know, there's been some good bills passed. One of them is allow the co-ops to provide internet service to the counties. Also, counties are struggling with 911 services. Several priorities fall under that infrastructure. So infrastructure fits the whole county, not just a special group.
Right, Mr. Thomas, what would be your top two priorities if you are reelected to this position?
Well, I hope we're in the process of doing it now. We just passed legislation for tax reform, and we think Kentucky has had really an antiquated tax system for many years now. So our push is actually HB 8, which to slowly reduce the state income tax. I feel like we do not need to penalize people for working. So we have passed this, and it's the governor unfortunately vetoed it. We'll see what happens in the next couple of days there. But it will slowly take the income tax down by trigger mechanism. So if the state brings so much income in, then a half a percentage point would drop. So it would drop eventually to 4.5 to 4 and 3.5 and so on. So I've been very, very involved with the tax reform issue. We know with Fort Campbell being right here that our whole region would benefit if we could ever get to a 0% income tax, because that holds back so many soldiers from retiring in our local communities. So I've been a big advocate for tax-exempt and military pensions also. So if we can get the retirees here, they usually end up raising their families. Their kids stay, their grandkids stay.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Thomas, you will get the next question. Would you change any current priorities that you have now or that's in the legislature? Any of the current ones?
Sure. Well, that was one of the biggest ones I would like to change. And of course, we have been protecting our Second Amendment rights. This year, we passed in the state of Kentucky, where if the federal government gets a little bit overreach on Second Amendment rights, that we don't have to honor some of those things. So that's legislation that we've passed. Once again, protecting life. I would love for abortions to actually be kind of banned if we can, but at least we're protecting the life of the unborn slowly by putting some restrictions on. And so that's still legislation in the words are some of the top priorities. And of course, like I said, tax reform. We have to make our state more competitive since we sit on this Tennessee border. Right now, soldiers just pull out of the gate and turn right instead of coming up to Hopkinsville. Kentucky is a great place to live, and we just want to attract the soldiers up into Kentucky.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Curling, would you change any of the current priorities as in respect to the in respect to the House of Representatives?
Well, definitely put more money in the discretionary road fund. You know, we've struggled for years to get these roads blacktop, and we depend on the state to help us with that process. And one thing that's going to hit us down the road is when people start going to these electric vehicles, you pay 26 cents per gallon. 20 cents on every gallon you pump goes into the road fund. What's going to happen when all those cars eventually going to, you know, turn over to electric cars? That needs to be changed. The tax needs to go on those electric cars before people start buying them. Then you have a hard time putting that tax on, just like with the 911 services. The cell phones, the tax never was increased on the cell phones because the landlines you are losing landlines every day, and our 911 funds keep. So that's probably the big priority, is to make sure we get enough road funds, and you're going to have to take care of that tax problem now.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Can I do a rebuttal, or just at least comment on it?
Yes, you may.
HB8 is one that we do have taxes on the hybrids and the electric cars. So the tax reform will help address that a little bit, too. So,
thank you. All right. Mr. Herling, next question. How do you think we should address the ongoing presence of COVID-19, or how do you think that the legislature should address the ongoing presence of COVID-19? We're sliding into a latter part of COVID-19, but how do you think the legislature should address that?
Getting vaccinated is the best defense from it. I've been vaccinated. I had my booster, too. But you cannot start shutting down all these businesses and closing schools. Kids were out of school for such a long time, and it was hard on them. It really was. I had grandkids that were out of school for over a year, and they struggled. So we don't need to close anything down. We don't need to close businesses. About the only thing you can do that are going to prevent that from spreading. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Thomas, how do you think the legislature should address the ongoing presence of COVID-19?
Well, we do feel like kids need to be in the classrooms, and the kids have lost so much by being remote over these last couple of years that they need to be that face-to-face. They need the friends. They're having social issues. And away from everyone and being away, not being able to see the teacher's face. So we passed in the House HB 51. It's sitting over in the Senate right now, that actually lets the parents choose whether they want to wear a face mask or not, whether their child needs to at school. And we think that the most local decisions is made by the parents. They know what's best for them. They know if they need to get their kids vaccinated or not. Tested for long periods of time, and I feel good about taking them. I'm like Larry, I'm vaccinated myself, but we just don't know the long-term effects that it's going to help on some of our youth. So that's kind of concerning. That's where we are right now. We just feel like it needs to be as local control, and the families are about as local as you can get.
All right. Thank you. All right, Mr. Thomas. Access to childcare in Kentucky.
We just passed that as Samara Heverin. She is a representative up around the Elizabethtown. I believe the governor actually signed it into law. It's going to be kind of a hybrid where it's going to be a private-public partnership where we're actually going to put money in, and it's going to be matched and things to help with daycares, because that's an issue. Right now, childcare, people can't work if we don't get any mothers are having to stay home, and some fathers are having to stay home and take care of their kids, which is really hurting our workforce development. We have 150,000 jobs available across the state of Kentucky, and a lot of them are going unfilled. There's help wanted signs. How many times have you driven down the road and you're going to a McDonald's and the lobby's closed? You can only pull through the drive-thru. So we got to get people back to work, and child care is really important. So we're excited. It's been passed. I believe the governor might have already signed this. So this is going to help some of the daycares stay open and get back open.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Carling?
I will say, I read that bill. That is a very good bill. One of the things that is really hurting us with workers is daycare. Our two largest factories in Princeton, Treehouse and Hydra Gear, they are constantly looking for people. If you talk to the daycare should be the number one recruiting issue when you're looking for workers. There's a lot of people that go to work. if they had somebody to watch after the kids, especially when those schools were closed down. Nobody could watch those kids. But if you had more money put into daycare, and if you partnered, like he said, with these factories, that's going to be a big plus for recruiting a lot of workers. We are hurting for workers. I just posted on our webpage last week over 100 jobs in Caldwell County just for those lose some of our factories. The number one thing for recruiting people to come, more businesses come here, they look for workforce. If you don't have the workforce, they're not going to come here.
All right. Thank you. All right, Mr. Curley. What policies would you support to improve education in the state of Kentucky?
Well, there's a lot of controversial policies. I know a lot of you have heard of school of public education. I made my living with it. But the thing about education, you're selling a product. And if parents don't like that product, they're going to be looking for another product. So school choice, to me, right now, you already have school choice in Hopkinsville. You have private schools that some people can go to, but not everybody can choose them. Let's just face it. So school choice is good for people unless these schools start giving a product that people want. If you start changing the curriculum, you start consolidating all these smaller schools into bigger schools, parents are going to want something different. Some of the best schools we have around here are Dawson and Lyon County because they're small. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Thomas, what policies would you support to improve education?
Well, these are some that are in the works. Just gives the funding mechanism a little bit, and we're going to do some test pilots on actually public charter schools. Now, these are public charter schools, but what this does is it has some protections from the smaller communities, Caldwell, Trigg, where you have to have at least 7,500 students or more to even be really considered for a charter school. Otherwise, their local school boards will get to be the authorizers on that. So, had kids, I have two of them, one went to private and one went to a public school. They both did well and went on through, but I think parents need a choice of where to send their kids. And unfortunately, sometimes money is part of the problem. In some of the less affluent areas, they don't have that choice to send them to that smaller class size charter schools or so. And so what we're doing is we're doing a test pilot. We're going to have hopefully one in coming up to Louisville, the West Eden one for quite a while, and then I think we're going to test one up in Northern Kentucky. So we're going to give parents some choices on where they can send their kids.
All right. Thank you. All right, Mr. Thomas, what are your views on legalizing medicinal marijuana in Kentucky?
Well, right now, it is out of the House and it's over in the Senate. I'm hearing that it's not going to pass. It has passed out of the House and now it's passed out this time. It seems to be getting hung up over in the Senate. I have some concerns. I was just talking. I have kids out in Colorado. They've just recently moved out of there. But last time I was out there, I stopped at one of these medical marijuana medicinal shops or so, where, and I wasn't able to go in because I wasn't an in-state resident, but he came out and talked with me. And one of the questions I asked him was, I said, so what's your thoughts? He's like, oh, yeah, that's just a big deal. It, you know, really helps and stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, where are the studies? What's that doing to that human embryo that is developing life as the mother is now on medical marijuana? So that was an issue. The other was I stopped and pulled up to a Colorado state trooper, and I said, listen, what do you think about medical marijuana? And, of course, full-blown, he looked at me and said, biggest mistake we've ever. Most of the people using it are 18 to 25-year-old young men that are getting their medical cards. And that's concerning. So I think it needs to have some more studies. I'd love if the FDA and the federal government would actually authorize it so we can study it.
All right, thank you. All right, Mr. Curling, what are your views on legalizing medicinal marijuana in Kentucky?
I'm against it, simply because I know the effects of drugs. 90% of jail are drug-related. Leads to violence, leads to theft, leads to not paying your child support. I know people consider it an easy drug, but I'm just not for it. I had the opportunity to go to Denver this last summer and talk to individuals that live there. And when they legalized marijuana, it brought a lot of homeless people into that area because they knew they could buy that marijuana legally. So it, I'm totally against it.
Thank you. What are your views regarding funding to support teacher retention and hiring in Kentucky?
Say it again, please.
What are your views regarding funding to support teacher retention and hiring in Kentucky?
Anything that will keep the teachers, I'm for. I was a teacher for 32 years. I know it's hard to find them, but it's just like any other job. Going to work. Teachers right now in Kentucky, I think they're below the average national. So, yeah, you're going to have to raise the pay. I don't have a problem with that.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Thomas, what are your views? Do you need to read it?
No, I'm fine.
All right.
You know, I was excited. I have been working with Beverly Fort here at Christian County School District, and we've been working with Murray State University, and we got HB 277 passed. And this is an expedited. So the governor signed it on Friday, so it is now law. It went through both houses and the governor and not a single vote against it. But it's an expedited path for educators, teachers, to get their certification. They can do it in 3 years instead of four. They can also work for the schools while they're getting their degrees and get paid. So these students would be under like a master teacher. They would be a paraprofessional that would actually get that in as they get paid. And then at the end, they still have to take their praxis and everything else, but they could do it quicker. And what we've found is if they're already in the classroom and teaching kids some, they're more likely to stay in that community. So this is exciting. This is the first time. It adds an option 9 instead of there's 8 different options to get your teacher certification. And I'm just really excited that the governor signed it, and we're hoping to do a ceremonial signing later on.
All right, Mr. Thomas. How would you advocate for the expansion of broadband into rural Kentucky?
We put, I think, $350 million into the broadband, and we are trying to use that and pull down some of the ARPA funds from federal government, too. It's so important. You know, Louisville, Lexington, those areas have a lot of broadband and high speed. Our system is doing a wonderful job getting broadband out into the areas here, 1 gig broadband. So we just passed that bill, and now there's going to be the mechanisms how to draw down some of that money and apply for it. But we do have to get the broadband into our more rural communities up in Caldwell and Trigg and everything. It's so important. There's so many things that now run on the high school. They have to have anyone in there that can plow a field if it has the internet. So we got to get that out and work with our private industries and our public industries to try to expand the broadband. We've been working with AT&T and different groups that already have a lot of that infrastructure in, and that's going to be our big goal.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Curley. How would you advocate for the expansion of broadband into rural Kentucky?
I will say they have passed a lot of good bills. Like I said earlier, the best thing you ever did was get the co-ops to start doing it. Your for-profit companies like AT&T, they're not going to run broadband out in these rural areas. They can't make any money. Your co-ops like Penarol Electric, they will do it because they offer a service. They're not in it for the profit. We just signed with Penarol Electric. They are a co-op. We've signed a contract with them. We're going to match them $1 million to run fiber in their area. We will do the same with Kenergy. things happen there. But to me, internet is just like the electricity of years ago. Your for-profit companies are not going to run fiber out to these people because they can't make money. Your co-ops came to existence because they could get electricity out to these farmers years ago. So a lot of good things are happening, but the smartest thing was letting these co-ops start to run fiber out to these rural farmers.
All right. All right. Do you support an increase in the minimum wage? If so, why and to what level? And if not, why?
I think the minimum wage is low, but the way things are happening now, if you don't increase your wages, you're not going to get anybody to work. I do not. I think a minimum wage should be established by the establishment. You know, of free enterprise we have, you can see the wages coming up constantly. At Treehouse, I think they've gone from $14 to $20 here in the last 6 months. And it's that competition that's going to make wages go up.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Thomas?
Yeah, I got the questions. I think minimum wage is an arbitrary figure. You can throw any figure out. We can say minimum wage is $20, $30, whatever. That would just lead to inflation. Dictates that. And it's exactly right. As Mr. Curlin said, is right now you can't hire anyone for $7.25 an hour. I mean, to work in a fast food restaurant, it's $12.13. So the market, the more demand employees, the more demand for employees dictates the price. And you know, we're having a hard time hiring people right now at our moving company. It's hard work, and because of that, we're going to pay people more to move furniture. And I think really the market dictates that. It doesn't need to have just a floor. You know, I think that's been tested out in Seattle. I'm not sure those areas are doing real great with, you know, when it moved up to $15, I think that really was tough on some of the restaurants out there. So really the market dictates the wages that people should make.
All right. Thank you. All right, Mr. Thomas, do you support term limits? And if elected, how many terms do you plan to run? We know you've already had...
Sixth year, yeah.
Do you support term limits then?
Well, I've been a big supporter of the Article 5 constitutional amendment. It did not go anywhere. It's been filed a couple years, and that actually puts... has a convention of states. So the states would get together and one our term limits. Now, those would still have to be hashed out a little bit. Once I've been up in state for a little while, you know, there's a real mix of people that have been there a while that had the institutional knowledge and the ones that come in freshmen. My first freshman year, it's like I was fortunate enough to pass 5 bills, but I was kind of led by the hand. It takes a couple years. You know, you kind of have to figure out where the bathrooms are. So you don't want nothing but anyone but just freshmen up there. But you're up there long enough to get the leadership skills, which I feel like I've developed by chairing multiple committees over the years. And you have to know, this year I'm past 3 bills so far, but I've had my hand in probably 8 to 10 others because you know how to work and get things accomplished. So I would think that... you know, for me, I'm hoping to serve 12 years. So I'm halfway through right now. If I get elected, hopefully I'll serve a few more. And that for me, that's about the right amount of time.
Thank you. Mr. Curley, do you support term limits? And if elected, how many terms do you plan to run?
You'd asked me that 10 years ago, I'd said yes. But since I've been in government, no. We got a guy, a U.S. senator, that has done a lot for us. If you get in government and you see the type of thing it can do up in Washington, and I'm talking about Mitch McConnell, with the money we're getting for the tornado, we was looking at paying 25% of everything we've done. He has gotten that down to 90%, where FEMA is going to reimburse us 90%. And the state is going to take care of the rest of that. So if you'd asked me 10 years ago, but the bottom line is the voters are going to decide that. If they don't like what you're doing, they're going to vote you out. So no.
All right. Rebuttal?
Well, not so much a rebuttal, just kind of adding on to what Larry said, too. You know, Kentucky is set up really different because we have LRC up there. It's bipartisan, and they help set the bills. So if you implement term limits too much, the people that are going to have all the knowledge are the ones up there that work up there 30, 40 years. And I'm not sure that's good either. The ideas and everything need to come from representatives. So,
all right, let's see. All right, Mr. Curling. If elected, would you favor getting resident feedback through polls and other structured means, or would you rather trust your ability to be informed and make the best decision for this district?
Well, I definitely wouldn't want to trust my abilities, these citizens. The more feedback you get, the better, and I get it all the time. I spend no telling how many hours going door to door talking to citizens. I do it on a weekly basis. They come to my office. I give my cell phone out to them. Everybody in Caldwell County has my cell phone. It's my phone. It's not a county phone. They call me all the time. It's either dogs, potholes, trash. I hear it all on a daily basis. So the more feedback I get, the better. I love it. If I'm doing right or I'm doing wrong, they let you know real quick, and I need to know.
All right, thank you. Mr. Thomas, would you want me to read the whole question?
No, you're fine. Thank you, though. You know, yeah, we do send out data all the time. We send out newsletters and get a lot of feedback, especially with some topics that could be coming up each year. And that is so valuable. But, you know, this part right here is the most valuable. Right now, I was really impressed in Trigg County. Someone came up to me and said, Walker said, when we get you elected or so, we know you stand on our same values, our same morals. Because some of these, we passed probably 40 bills in one day up there. You know, they come quick. You don't have time to get everybody's feedback for every one of those bills. But they know your moral character, your godly principles. And that's what they've told me is like, you know, Walker, we know you'll represent the values that you implement in life. And so a lot of that, when you get up there and that budget is moving quickly and that budget's 250 pages, you have to make some judgment calls pretty quick. And we want public's feedback, and I'm like Larry, my cell phone is my only phone, so anyone can reach me at any time, but it's a mix of both.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Thomas, how do you plan to advocate for all parts of this district, the area that you represent, for all parts of it at the state level?
You know, it's funny you ask that, and I do. I represent, you know, both political parties in our district. My committee that I chair, Veterans Military Affairs, I've had quite a few people that ask how to get onto my committee. A lot of times people want off. So I run a real try to get bipartisan feedback. Actually, I think we passed 3 or 4 Democrat bills this year, and every one of them came through Veterans Military Affairs and Public Protection, because both parties have some ideas that are good ideas. The Republican Party doesn't just own the rights to good ideas. So some of these were non-controversial bills, and it's good to have bipartisanship in some of these. So I lobbied for the bills, got them heard, and sure enough, they're being signed by the governor right now. So That's the same thing that I do for my own constituents in my own district. So from Caldwell to Trigg to Christian County, I will advocate for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are or, you know, or what political party you're involved with. I am your representative.
All right. Thank you. All right. Mr. Curling, how do you plan to advocate for all parts of this district?
Well, that kind of reverts back to your other question, listening to everybody. You know, like, for example, Senate Bill 1, you talk to people, if they're in favor for it, then you represent them in that manner. House Bill 4, if they're in favor for it, then you represent them in that manner. House Bill 7, the welfare of the work, if they're for it, you represent them in that. School choice, Senate Bill 83, if they're for it, if they're for it, you represent them. You can't do everything that every citizen wants, but you can do what the majority want on each bill.
All right. Thank you. All right, gentlemen, that concludes all of our questions we have for this evening. And Mr. Curling, since you started, Mr. Thomas, you will be starting with your closing statements. That will be a minute for closing.
Thank y'all for hosting this. We look forward to the luncheon coming up soon, but it's been an honor to serve the constituents of District 8 and the new constituents of District 8 since the boundaries are changing. I look forward to continually doing that if you see fit to elect me. It's funny, my very first walk card I had on here, and it was my three things that was energy experience, and I am all three of those. I have never missed a meeting. I've never missed a vote. I don't sit on the sidelines because it's a tough vote. I will make a decision one way or the other, and so I ask that on May 17th that you elect me and re-elect me as your state representative for District 8.
Thank you. Mr. Curling?
I do want to wish Mr. Thomas the best of luck. Like I said earlier, I coached for over 20 years, and I've been on the losing side a lot. But that always walk across the field, shake your opponent's hand, and say good luck the rest of the season. That's exactly what I'll do if I'm on the losing end. What do I have to offer work ethic? I have worked in my entire life, from a young boy hauling hay, cutting tobacco, to building silos for 8 years during high school and college. When I was teaching, I got a summer job. When I retired from teaching, that lasted about 1 month. I couldn't stand it. I do want to say I'm not the most talkative person in the world. If you get in a conversation, I'm talking, but I promise you I'm listening. So any consideration for your vote, I'd appreciate it. And it's been an honor and a privilege to be a part of this event. Thank you.
Thank you both, and that concludes our forum for this evening.
Thank you.